Father, again, we just take a moment as we go to your word. We know your word is powerful. We know your word can change lives. We know that your word can bring healing, Lord God. And we know that your word can do all of these things at the same time. We ask, Lord God, as we just open up your word today, that we would also open up our hearts and be ready to receive what you have. And more than ever, be willing for you to do whatever's needed in our lives to accomplish that. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to Mark chapter 4, we're going to be looking in just a moment at Mark chapter 4. And if you look at this verse, you're going to see that Jesus is giving us advice through the Gospels concerning our lives, concerning our behaviors, concerning things that are going on, things that should be important to us, and things that give us purpose in our life. If you look at, and I talked about it a couple weeks ago, if you look at the red letters in your Bible, you realize that these are the words of Jesus. And if you look at all of these things that, how many believe that if Jesus said it, it's pretty important that we should be listening? Amen? How many look at this, and as you look at the Gospels and you see these massive red lines all through the Gospel, how many know that Jesus probably preached messages that were more than 20 minutes? If you can't read it in 20 minutes, he probably took longer to say it. He declares blessings. He declares ethical behavior. He declares that what it's like to be a follower, and he expects us to be listening. Amen? As a believer, we have a responsibility to the gospel. Meaning this, the gospel is Jesus Christ, dead, buried, and resurrection. We have a responsibility to that gospel to not only live it out, be thankful that Christ did that for us, but also be sharing what Christ did for us. Amen? Amen. If you look at the Gospel of Mark, you can see that Jesus talks to us about several things. He talks to us about sowing seed, and he talks about growing seed. He talks about calming the storm, not only in our lives, but the part that we play in calming some storms in other people's lives. He talks to us that our talent level should be more than what we can do in ourselves. It should be under the anointing, under the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, taking us to the next level and doing what God asked us to do. He tells us in these words to be light. He tells us in our text in a few minutes that being a light is more than just being an example. It's a whole lot more than that. It's about walking around and not just being a billboard that says, come to Jesus. It's living it out every day in our lives. Showing Jesus, living Jesus, speaking about Jesus, being a part of all of these things. And all of that plays a factor because the light of Christ has changed our life. Amen. Mark chapter 4. Let's see, I think that's in the New Testament, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 21, reading down to verse 25. Jesus speaking, he said to them, do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on the stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And even more, whosoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. The gospel talks about light. Jesus being the light talks about that we are to be the light, to be a testimony unto others, to be an example unto others, to be a witness of what God has done in our lives. And then he tells us to shed his light, to have a hunger for God, How many believe today that, part of the problem for the church, universal, is that we've lost our hunger for God? That we've lost what we're supposed to be doing, and new Christians are coming into the church, new Christians are coming into the faith, and we have made it so watered down that just come to Jesus. That's all you need to do. Well, that's all you need to do for salvation, but that's not all we need to do as a believer in Christ. He tells us to shed our light and to be a witness and to have a hunger for God and a hunger for God's word to work in other people's lives. And then he tells believers that we should be living in that light. And then he goes on to tell us that there's a difference, that in his light we can change the world. In his light we're empowered to do things that we're not able to do in ourselves. In his light he gives us guidance and wisdom and everything else. And then he tells us very direct that in this world, there is darkness. Which means if we're going to be the light of Christ, that we need to break through that darkness that's in the world. And we're to be the difference. He tells us that his light working in our lives will chase the darkness away. Amen. That ought to encourage somebody. That his light working in us can chase away darkness. How many need to chase away a little darkness in their life? Or darkness that we see going on? How many know people that are living in darkness and you know what they need to do to change that, but maybe sometimes we're scared to do that. Or we're afraid that maybe someone is going to say something that we don't light. With his light, we are able to do more than what we can do in ourselves. He tells us also that his light is truth. There's a big deal. There's a lot to say there. He tells us that his light is truth. And I want you to understand something this way. No matter if you're full-time ministry, no matter what part you play in the church, no matter what your pecking line in your family is, I want you to know this. If you say you are a Christian, people are watching you. They're watching you. As soon as you say that you're a believer, as soon as you say you're a Christian, they're watching you. We are always influencing someone. Amen? We are always influencing someone, either positive or negative. We are working one way or another to influence someone. And sometimes we don't give the light that we should be giving because we're being influenced by circumstances or things going on. We are not perfect. I know you, you know me. We're not perfect. And we can be honest with each other, but it's about obedience. It's about allowing God to do the things that he wants to do in our lives, to make the changes that he wants to make. We are called to make an impact. We are called to be authentic. We're called to be real. Amen. We're called to be real. Nowhere does it say pretend to be more than you're not. He tells us just to be real. He tells us to be open and honest. He tells us that's why we need each other, because we're not perfect and we need each other. You know, you are the church sign. Oh, amen or oh me. You are the church sign. You represent Rosedale. You represent Christianity. You represent all that you proclaim. We're a banner of Christianity to those that are struggling. They're looking at you. They're trying to find truth, and they're trying to see if the truth is really working in you. They're trying to find a way to Christ, and we are that sign. See, we're called to be more than an irritant. Can you say amen to that? We're called to be more than an irritant. You know, salt changes things. We're called to be more than a Bible thumper. You say amen to that? Nowhere does Jesus say, beat them over the head with the Bible. Every time they make a mistake, throw a scripture at them. He doesn't tell us that. We're to be more than an irritant. We're to be a blessing. We're called to be the light. We're called to bring that light that brings change to people. We can't change anybody. Man, when I was from the city, you couldn't have changed me. I wouldn't have talked to you. You wouldn't have got a chance. God has to do that. God makes those changes. But we can be the light that God uses to change people's lives and how they respond to God and to God's love. We cannot be useful until we know that God desires us to be a light, to be used, to be different, to graciously bless people when they don't deserve a blessing, to take the time to help someone that's stumbling, not because they deserve it, but because the light of Christ directs us to there and tells us that our journey should cross their path, even if it's temporary, even if it's for a moment. So a couple things to share. First thing, right off the gate, our light, Christ's light, must be seen. Jesus himself tells us that we can't function like a lamp under a bushel or under something where you cannot see what it's supposed to be. Our light is to shine. We're supposed to make a difference. We're supposed to get the most coverage of Christ's light shining through us. And he tells us that our light needs to be revealing. That's why I have such a thing with secret Christians. You know, the secret agent Christian that says, well, I'm just going to live my life for Christ and do what's right. Well, that's good. That's a start. But he doesn't tell us to be secret agent Christian. He tells us that we're to be a light. He tells us that we're to make an impact. We're supposed to. How many? If you don't have unsaved friends, you need to get some more friends. And they ought to be unchristian so that you can make a witness. You can make a difference in their lives that you can show them. If you're just going through this holy huddle every week with the select few that you hang out with, your light's not revealing the way Christ would want it to be revealed. You have to remember, too, of the text, the way Jesus says that. During the time of Jesus, they couldn't flick a switch and on comes the light. They needed a candle. They needed to go the old-fashioned way and make a difference. So what he's saying that in all of our easiness, we should be more a light. We should be taking advantage of technology. We should be taking advantage of things that God has brought us to make a difference. John 8:12 says, and you know, Jesus speaking, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Let me tell you, if you're not walking in darkness, either should the people being around you. I'm sorry. Did you hear what I said? If you're walking in the light, then those that are around you should not be in darkness either. Because the light of Christ is being revealed. The light of Christ should be lighting up your path. Jesus' light is also truth. And truth has to be seen. It can't just be expressed. I'm a Christian. Great, show me. Great, tell me why I should be one. Great, what difference does it make? All of these things that people may not ask you, but they're thinking these things. God's truth cannot be concealed. It's not meant to be hidden. Scripture tells us under a bed, secret agent Christians, it's got to be seen and it's got to be shared and it's got to be given to those that we come in contact with. Scripture and all of these things that we see in other people's life. There will be times, listen to me, Christian, there will be times that it's dangerous or awkward to be a Christian, but God doesn't say, that's the time when you're scared or when it's dangerous or it's a little bit awkward, turn your light out. So they don't know you're a Christian. Turn your light out. Nowhere does it tell us that. the true woman and the man of God will stand by the truth of God even if there is persecution, even if there is heartache. And I think in 1517, when Martin Luther nailed the thesis to the wall, he believed that business as usual couldn't be anymore. Christians, we need that today. It can't be the same way. Business as usual. He believed, they believed, the Protestant Reformation believed that they needed to live it out. And they believed that it was worth dying for. They believed that when if you said you had faith in something, you were willing to give it all. And Martin Luther took it to the public forum. And I believe as Christians, we need to bring it to the public forum. We need to do it in a Christian way, but we need to bring it to a forum. We need to let the light shine. We need to express our indifference to some of these things going on. Luther felt like he discovered the truth. Amen? He felt like when he was digging through Scripture, he discovered a truth and he had to do something with it. And his goal was to display this truth. His goal was to live it out in his life. And it means doing what's right, even if everybody's not on board. It means doing what's right, even though the majority is not on board, even when it's unpopular. That's how you'd show the light of Christ. Because that, when they see you going through a struggle, but you're still shining, when they see that the impact that Christ made doesn't go by your circumstance, how much money you have in the bank, or all these other things, Christ's light shines. And when Christ's light shines through us, we will see a difference. Number two, the light or the truth cannot be suppressed. Verse 22 and 23 says, "For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." See, there's something about truth. You can refuse it, but it doesn't change that it's the truth. You can try to suppress it, but it will be revealed. You can try to wipe it out, but it will show through. You can refuse to accept it, but in the end it will prevail. And like the great theologian Judge Judy says, if you tell the truth, you don't have to have a good memory. Isn't that true? You don't have to remember that lie unless you have a really good memory. But it's a lot easier to tell the truth. The truth will come to you. The truth, God's light, applies to our lives, applies to our conduct. It applies on sharing the truth with others. See, Adam and Eve, they broke that commandment and they tried to hide. Genesis 3:8, the whole story there. But you can't hide from God. Can you say amen? Have you tried? It don't work so good, does it? You can't hide from God, especially as a believer. You cannot hide from God. Those that harbor secrets are never happy. You will never be happy when you're harboring secrets. Those that are deceitful, I want you to know deception isn't permanent. It's not permanent. You can only play the game so long. It will come out. Each one of us must take care that we're not, listen to me, we're not fighting against God. You can't win that battle. I've tried it. You cannot win. You can be mad at God. I've been mad. I've expressed to God that I've been mad. But you can't hide it. So you might as well be honest with him. Each one of us should make sure that we're not hiding from the light of God. Because God's light will expose you. God's light will go to every corner. God's light has a funny thing about opening up skeleton doors. God's light will show us where we need to be if we'll let him do it. The truth is, this world lives in darkness. Amen? You see it every day. The world, Christ tells us that the world lives in darkness, and we're to be the light. The same way he was, we are to be. After this week, we can do weddings and we can do funerals in the same week. But God tells us that he'll help us through it. God will be our strength. When everything is going great and you have that moment like, whoo, can't get any better than this. And the very next minute you're finding yourself slid under the bus. God says, I could still be there for you. And you still need to be the light. You still need to show Christ. It doesn't change the fact of what the light of God wants to do in our lives. What the light of God is doing and has done through us at all them times. Jesus gives us the whole light example in this text. Verse 24, consider what you hear. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And even more, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Let me give you a warning about the warning that Jesus gave you. When Jesus says pay attention, pay attention. When he says let he who hears hear, pay attention. What you get will depend on what you give. Listen, and you will gain more. What you give, you will get back, and I'll explain that. See, I don't believe in karma. There's no nothing about karma. I hear people say, well, that's karma. Well, but I do believe that God cannot be outgiven. Can you say amen to that? You cannot outgive God. And one of my favorite illustrations is that God always has a bigger shovel. He always has a bigger shovel. And if you're giving, he'll outgive you every time. In every aspect of your life. In life, there's a balance. And just hang on there just for a moment. You work hard, you get things. You do not work hard, things are not as available. Makes sense, right? You study hard. The more you prepare to give to that study, the more the study gives back to you. Amen? The ancient Greeks, I love this. The ancient Greeks believed that they would not give their young men meals until they broke a sweat. Because they believed that before you could eat, you had to produce. They believed that pleasure and satisfaction was based upon your effort. And I believe some of that is true today. I believe we have not because we ask not. I believe some are struggling because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. I believe that there is some, they're struggling right now, and there is an abundance of blessing just on the other side for you. Don't let go. If you're doing everything that you know to do, don't let go. God's word is faithful. God's word will come through. In the same, I believe, in the study of the Bible. There are so many that the Bible is too hard to understand. And I believe there is parts in the Bible that are hard to understand. But I also believe this. If you will take those hard parts, whatever those hard parts are for you, and you do a study, I believe in time they will become your favorite scripture. Because I believe with all my heart, as you're studying, as you're seeking, as you're hungering for God, as you're asking God for wisdom in certain parts of text, I believe he answers us. And I believe there is excitement in finding God's truth. Amen. I believe that there is a way that it becomes personal and that the Spirit of God draws you out with new discoveries. And I believe it's the same in worship. And if I would have talked to Josh ahead of time, I believe he would say amen. Because there are wrong ways, I believe, that you can come to worship this morning. And let me give you a couple really quick. Coming entirely to get. If you walked into to the sanctuary this morning and you came up to God and said, okay, God, what you got? And that was your attitude, I would guess that you probably would not walk out of here with what God wanted you to have. If you came in here for worship and you didn't come with a heart of expectation, I believe that you missed some of the things God wants you to have. If you walked in here this morning out of habit, it's always what I do at 10:45. I believe you miss out what God wants for us. And believe me, this is important. Coming without a heart of preparation, you should be praying before you come to pray. If we were praying, if the body of Christ here was praying that God would do something amazing in the service, he would do it every single time because that's God's word. Jewish rabbi says they pray best together who prays first alone. And I believe that. It works in every avenue of our life. You want friends? Be a friend. You are who you hang around with. Want people to love you? Love others. And as I close this and I look at verse 25, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away. Folks, use it or lose it. How many have studied a second language, never used it, and couldn't even speak another word of it? Use it or lose it. Knowledge and wisdom. That's great, but if you never use it, you won't know when to use it if you wait too long. Skills that God gave you, skills that he wants to hone and use for God's glory, if you don't use them, you'll lose them. And like I said, I don't see a devil behind every tree, but I'm telling you, the devil will steal and destroy if you let him. He will take the very things that you used to think important and make them not so important anymore. Did you hear what I said this morning? The things that you used to think were important, he will make them not so important. As believers, we have a responsibility to God for our salvation in that we have a responsibility to those that come across our path to share the good news. We are compelled by the gospel to break through the darkness with God's light. Some are struggling because they have allowed certain areas of their life to be in that darkness. And this morning, I'd encourage you to be upfront and honest with God. Allow God to shine his Holy Spirit light on some of those things going on. I was going to share an illustration, but I think we're just going to close. And I want to close with that God's word tells us that his word and his life is a lamp onto our feet and a light onto our path, and tells us that we need to be that light, we need to shed that light, we need to walk in his light. And I believe sometimes our lives would be a whole lot better if we did it. Amen? Would you just bow your head with me? Father, this morning, we've sensed your presence all through worship. I sense your presence in the speaking of your word. I believe it was anointed. I believe that you want to speak to people's hearts and their lives. I don't know what's going on in people's lives. I see a lot of hurting people. I see you needing to be the healer. I see you needing to change attitudes and circumstances. I see you, Lord God, amongst a community that needs Jesus. Shared with Josh before the service that I just need a little Jesus today. And maybe that's you this morning. If you were honest, you would just have to say, I need a little Jesus today. Because my pitcher is empty. And I pray, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit to fill us to overflowing, giving us, Lord God, the things that we need. drawing us close to you, building our relationship with you. And Lord God, I'm asking that you would accomplish that in our lives. As we go into our work day, as we go into our day with our family, let the light of Christ shine in our lives. May we remember every day that we are a witness. People are watching. And not that we need to pretend we're perfect, but be aware that we are on a mission. In Jesus' name, amen.